Let's talk about paper trails and documentation, and we have touched on this a little bit. Lisa, I know that in our office with our Arizona Missions carrier, there are things that we look at where you will call a file a compliant file or a non-compliant file where, say, a new build may not be covered, or it's the coverage is a little bit different than the coverage you would receive on a resale house. In the REO world, what typically would an Arizona Missions company look for in the paper trail that they want to see in files, to kind of look at those files and just essentially say, yeah, this is a compliant file, and we're going to defend this?
I think what you're really referring to is that a lot of these policies have brought in risk reduction techniques to, in addition to giving premium credits, so you're going to save money on your premium, they're going to afford additional coverage enhancements. For example, if you have a policy deductible of $2,500, and you have a claim on a transaction, it's a residential transaction, and it requires that you have a home warranty, home inspection, you're using a standard contract or one drafted by a licensed attorney, and you have a SPUD signed by the seller, acknowledged by the buyer. If you have those four conditions on a file that has a claim, then they'll reduce your deductible, be it 50% or whatever the criteria is for that particular carrier. It's not really a matter of coverage or not. The coverage is going to extend from your scope of services, as we've talked about. If you're a real estate agent, broker, property manager, or outside of that, then there's not going to be coverage that would respond. So your scope of services is really going to trigger that. And then particular exclusions. There's not an exclusion in an E&O policy that says we don't cover foreclosed properties or we don't cover a transaction that doesn't have this documentation. All right. It is covering you for your professional services rendered in your capacity as a real estate agent, broker, property manager. And then it affords additional coverage enhancements if that's a lower risk transaction or what you would refer to as a compliant file. If you don't have those conditions, it's a higher risk transaction. You're going to pay a higher deductible. So, you know, the good news is you're not going to miss anything by these REO properties that are, you know, have less paper trail or less risk reduction practices that you can apply on those. You'll still have the coverage. It just might be subject to a higher deductible.
And the Arizona Missions companies will typically give advice to brokers on how to minimize risks and do the things that they need to do regarding REOs?
That's really been the challenge. They're not going to give advice on what you need to do. All right. Okay. That's really, you need to sit down with your attorney and your insurance broker. What the carrier needs to do is interpret coverage for us. They need to tell us how their policy responds to REOs. Every single carrier is responding differently. All right. For example, I talked to an underwriter yesterday. I have multiple companies that I work with, and an underwriter that said, well, if an agent is doing an environmental inspection, all right, because the contract requires that you do a safety inspection or environmental inspection, and where you should put that out to a third party, let's face it, I'm sure some are trying to take on that responsibility themselves. Is that a duty of an agent, broker, or property manager? Probably not. They're not an environmental inspector and safety inspector. That underwriter tried to say that policy might not respond to that. Now, the reality is if it's not clearly set forth in the policy provisions, you can certainly challenge it from a legal standpoint. But we start with underwriters giving us an interpretation of how the coverage should respond and go from there. So we are treading in an area, you know, kind of a new and uncertain area, and that's what we're trying to determine is how does this carrier respond to these REO properties and these listing agreements and these activities that are putting a greater burden and responsibility on agents and brokers.
And Rick brought up the point of over 40% of the market right now is REOs, and I'm sure that all of us are looking at what we need to do in the REO market. Holly, for those who are listening, I know that we talked about documentation and some of the things you do in your file. What's the perfect file for you in your documentation?
The perfect file for me would look like, on the listing side, it would be the list letter and a list letter for every price reduction that the lender gives us. It would include the contract, which is all the addendums, and those addendums would be lender addendum, mole disclosure, AAR contract, as-is addendum, septic if there is one, well if there is one, an HOA addendum, and I'm pretty sure I said the as-is addendum. That would be part of the contract package itself. In addition to that, the perfect file would have a BINSR, would have a final walkthrough, would have an acknowledged disclosure form, which is a document that we have internally within our company. And attached to that disclosure form would be all of the documentation that was given to the selling agent for the buyer. And then any notes that the listing agent who's been handling the property has during the assignment period would be part of that broker file. That's my ideal file.
Rick, Holly just gave you the ideal file and just advised you she's been sued for over $1 million. Is her file defensible?
Yes, everything Holly does seems to be ironclad. If she has all that information in it, and the challenge, I think, for Holly is going to be the buyers, and the buyers saying, I didn't know about this, that, and the other. And that's where you hope you have a real strong buyer's agent that's done their job. But if Holly has documented everything, if there's been a disclosure of everything they knew, if there's been the addendums having given to the buyer and it's explained to the buyer and so on and so forth, yes, I think her file is very defensible. What happens in my world, though, is a little bit different. What buyers are told and understand before the close of escrow is one thing. What they say in a deposition a year later is another. So the challenge is documenting the deal, explaining the important points, and making sure the buyer's agent and, to a certain extent, the listing agent has a good paper trail following it up. But assuming all that's in place, yes, it seems very defensible.
You know, the only thing, though, that I think that is not defensible, and this is the only thing that still gives me heartburn, that is the fact that I'm not sure that the selling agent and the buyer understand right. The transaction. And that is so huge, because in all lawsuits, I mean, my file may be defensible, but that doesn't mean that I'm still not going to get sued.
Right. And the lawsuits are becoming more sophisticated. It used to be they were pretty much property condition based, and that was really all you had to deal with. Did somebody know the leaky roof or the termites or whatever the case may be? With the documents with AR being as good as they are, the claims have had to become a little more sophisticated, and a lot of it is now turning into, well, they didn't explain it to me. So those are tough cases to defend, because you have the buyer's agent saying, I talked to them, I told them about it, they seemed to be understanding what I was saying, and I said ABC. But the buyer, again, with the benefit of hindsight a year later, saying, well, I didn't understand that, I didn't know that, didn't think about that, nobody told me correctly. So Holly's point's very well taken. Buyer understanding is going to be a big key in the REO stuff, because it's a higher risk transaction.
One of the situations that we find ourselves in as REO agents is that typically the offer will be accepted and the buyer is notified that the offer is accepted, but the additional terms and conditions, or what most REO companies would call a counteroffer, is not sent till about 5 days after they've received all the buyer information and that they've looked at all the contracts. So the buyer sometimes could be into their inspection period or may have already done some things, and then they get the additional terms and conditions. Holly, what recommendations do you have for that?
We release the lender addendum to the selling agent prior to any contract being written. I think this is really, really important, because I have heard from a lot of agents that say, well, we don't need the lender addendum, just present our AAR contract. And I won't even present to our lender until I see that the buyer has received and signed the lender addendum and the mole disclosure. There's a huge reason for that. Any agent that will allow their buyer to sign the AAR contract on a REO property without knowing what the additional terms are that are based in that lender addendum have just actually negated their buyer's rights to cancel. Because what they've done is they have They've signed the AAR contract. Well, I shouldn't say to cancel, because obviously they can cancel until everything is signed. But they are not allowing the buyer to be able to review the document that prevails prior to writing an offer. This has been a huge contention for a lot of agents trying to sell REO properties, because they don't want to waste the time going over these lender addendums. And they say, just send us the lender addendums after we finish the negotiations. Well, you know, you can negotiate the financial, the terms of a contract, but you can't negotiate what the buyer knows and what the prevailing document says. So I think to protect everybody, those documents have to be seen and signed at the same time, because they also contain the financial information.
I think that's a real good policy, but I don't think that's common.
No, it's not.
That's atypical.
Yes,
yeah.
It's very atypical.
Well, I'm envisioning some agents who might be listening to this right now coming back with, in the lender addendums that they typically receive, there may be some additional information. I know on my account there's a paragraph at the first part of the lender addendum that will put forth any of the repair items that they will take care of, or any of the allowances and the closing costs and things. I can see where I can provide a blank lender addendum with the boilerplate language, and that is probably a really good policy for everyone to follow. But sometimes there are some changes, not to the boilerplate language, but to the some of the terms and conditions. And so it probably is a good policy to just make sure that you've got, again, I guess it's probably similar to the SPDS. Even if they get a blank addendum, at least they know what the boilerplate is, and at least they know then what road or what path they're going to be taking when they get their addendums back.
And I think the business points are fluid until you get a deal. I mean, price and timing, that sort of thing, is back and forth and fluid until you knock it down. But the standard terms, which are a large part of what overrides the standard buyer protections, don't change. And in fact, lenders won't change them. They've got a policy like, here's our property, here's our contract, take it.
Or leave it. That's right. And this is so important because so many agents, and Rick just said it a second ago, this is atypical. Most buyers don't ever see the lender addendum until after they have signed, negotiated, and think that they've got a deal, or at least they're presenting an offer based on the terms of the AAR contract. And then all of a sudden, they get this addendum that says, nope, this prevails, and they've never seen it before. So, you know, for the protection of everyone, and certainly in a broker's training of his agents who handle these properties, if you are a selling broker with a selling agent who does a lot of REO business, that should be a standard policy that you have, part of your training with your agents, that is an absolute request of the listing company prior to writing any contract on any REO. And I know we do this. Our lender addendums are actually on our website. So it's a blank addendum, but you can go and you can read everything that's in the lender addendum.
Okay, great. I think one other issue that we want to talk about is the lead-based paint disclosures from our asset managers.
Do you want me to address that?
I want all the experts to address it. I want Lisa to tell us that we're fully covered.
Oh, don't worry, you're covered.
Yeah. Lead-based paint is never signed in counterpart. Lead-based paint should never be a part of the AAR contract coming from the buyer. That is a seller document that comes from the seller. And I know that there are some companies, there are some lenders that don't want to sign the lead-based paint. However, it's our job as listing agents to make sure that those lead-based paints are signed by our buyers. This is a federal regulation. They have to be signed by the seller, by the lender, and it has to be acknowledged by the buyer.
Great. Well, I think just to wrap up then, Lisa, you talked about the Arizona Emissions Coverage and how essentially an REO agent is acting as a property manager, and so they need to carefully review what their coverage is, and they need to make sure that their broker is aware that they're acting as property managers, and brokers need to be aware that they need that kind of coverage. Rick, I think the most important thing that we have gotten is that probably anybody doing REO work needs some initial consultation with an attorney on how their listing agreements are drafted and what types of liabilities they may have. And, Holly, I think some of the valuable information today is document, document, document. And I think all of us agree that we need to make sure that our buyers' agents, who may not be versed in REOs, are also educated and we're also proactive. Does anybody else have anything to add?
Thank you for the opportunity.
Great. Well, Lisa Robinson of Pinnacle Insurance Consultants, Rick Mack with Mack, Drucker & Watson, and Holly Esslinger, thank you very much for your time today. And I'm sure that everyone will find this informational, and it was certainly a pleasure being here with some professionals.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Frank.